night, Jamaica. Top of the night, top of the night. Jamaica and the Caribbean. This is the Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station. And what a week it has been. People, the world is in a mess. Fire, water, landslides, earthquake, and all manner of things. All types of disasters on the land. And then there is COVID. I don't know about you, listeners, but this COVID thing is hitting close to home. This is just my opinion, though. Vaccines are important, and vaccines save lives. I often talk about what I term as a shelf life. So here's how I look at life. Life is like manufactured goods. Life comes with a shelf life just as manufactured goods. However, we as human beings may not have a shelf life written on us like manufactured goods, but yes, indeed, there's a shelf life. And we can hasten our shelf life. We can kill our shelf life, or we can make our manufactured products go bad by the way we treat our shelf life. Let's say, for instance, you have a package of cold meat, and it says refrigerate. It might say it has a shelf life of probably 30 days. But if you do not put that in the refrigerator, I can promise you it's going to go bad. Therefore, you're going to shorten its shelf life. It's not going to last the 30 days. So I think in essence, when I look at life, that's how I see it. Life has a shelf life. And we can hasten, or we can diminish our shelf life by not abiding, not taking care of ourselves. And tonight I'm imploring all of us, take a vaccine, man. Take a vaccine, okay? Okay, on tonight's show, we'll be talking about giving back Jamaica, giving back to the school, which I've often said, which has made us who we are. There are different drives that we can contribute to. We can contribute to a shoe drive, which we call the Kickers Club. We can contribute to what we call the Bellyful Club, and we can contribute to, you know, to giving socks, a pair of socks to go with the Kickers, and we can also contribute to the Yellow Bus program, and there's also the sponsorship program. Now, I'll have persons on later in the program to explain all these drives that we have going on. But I implore you, those who are in the hearing of my voice, contribute, give back something. Give back something, especially to the school, which we call Crescent Primary, which was Crescent All Age in those days. It's important to give back, okay? At this time, there are so many things going on. So many things going on, people. People are hungry. People are, you know, in need of a lot of things. And especially when I look at this week, when I see the hurricane came through and it has taken so many persons' lives. A lot of persons tonight are in misery. No electricity, no water. I tell you, a lot of things going on. So while we're enjoying our life, and we're happy, remember those who are in the path of the hurricane. Over on the west side of the country, there are fires going out of control. I mean, we don't know what's happening. But on one side of the country is water, it's wet, and on the other side, fires are raging. Whole towns have been devastated by fire. So take care of your life, people. Take care of your lives. And I implore you, as I said before, get yourself vaccinated. School's still open and all these kids are going back to school. You know, as I said before, the COVID is hitting close to home. I keep getting news of persons who I've been to school with, persons who I've been to college with, who have been, you know, been hit by COVID and has not survived. And The long and short of it is that they were not vaccinated. They didn't take the vaccine. They didn't take the vaccine. I am not going to argue with anybody who don't want to take the vaccine, but I'm just going to implore you, for the sake of those around you, the sake of your family and friends, just take the vaccine and save their life. Because, I mean, the life you save could be that of your husband, your spouse, your child, your old mother, father. Take care of each other. Dr. Ev.
Boy, I am telling you, sister, I see you for a minute there. I was in church. Good evening. I think I like your sermon there very well, the shelf life thing, you know. Yeah. That was well received.
Thank you. But that's how I see life, though, you know. That's how I see life. While you know, manufactured goods, you know, when you look at the packaging, you might see, the expiration date. We don't have an expiration date. But
written on our package.
While our expiration date might be, say, 70 years, 60 years, 10 years, we can diminish, we can cut that shelf life in half or cut it in a quarter by the way we live our life. Just as I gave the example of the packet of meat, it might have a shelf life of 30 days. So the expiration date is the end of the month. But we can diminish that shelf life by not putting it up correctly, by not storing it correctly. And that is how I see life and the vaccine. That's the simplest way I really can look at it. I really don't know how you see it, but, I mean, let's hear it.
Yeah, I agree with you. The hesitancy with a lot of folks and a lot of misinformation on one hand. A lot of people have hesitancy still because they're kind of watching what's going on. And a lot of times we're watching and things don't necessarily work that way sometimes. We look at, you know, our vulnerability to this particular virus, and of course we don't know. We have seen people who have succumbed to this virus who are totally, in terms of what medical status is, totally healthy, and they just keel over. This is like we're in a petri dish. I mean, the scientists, we have our hypotheses, but we still don't have the data for the duration of time to come to that conclusive, you know, final report and say, hey, okay, if you this or if you that or if you that. And, you know, taking all of the variations and all of the other things that are coming up that, we're not able to explain yet. So I think we, rightfully so, some folks, you know, hesitant, and that's one right. But even these people who are not willing to take the vaccine, and of course that's their prerogative, I think they should, though. One thing I would say that should be mandatory, that when they wear their mask, they protect. We know that the masking does, it offers a certain amount of protection. We really know that. We see that also through the amount of the virus, the flu virus. For the first time probably in history since we found out about the virus, we don't have the astronomical amount of incidents like last year. Because people were wearing masks, they were washing their hands, you know, they weren't just, you know, sometimes you in the wintertime you see people just cough and shut and everybody just coughing in their hands. And we see the number of incidents were totally down. And I think when somebody says it's their freedom to wear or not to wear masks, now that to me is almost saying it's criminal. Because there is no, if you can wear a pair of glasses, if you can wear a shoes or pants, there are places that you have to go, you have to wear shoes. And there's no going to wear sneakers. There are places that you have to go, you have to wear shirts. There's a dress code, and it so happened that this is not a fashion statement, this is a health, pandemic health issue. And if somebody refused to wear a mask because they feel that they're infringing on their freedom, that's when I have a problem. I don't have a problem with somebody saying they don't want the vaccine because that's their body and, you know, you just don't know yet. We just had the approval finally because this drug wasn't approved before. But now they approved it. But a simple mask that can do so much of a protection, I think that people who don't adhere to that, for me, I would have fined them.
I am puzzled also because they're not taking vaccines because let's say it's their right to not want to take the vaccine. But a simple thing as a mask, wearing a mask over your face, they don't want to wear that either. And it's just irritating to me when the little times I take myself and go out and people are crossing paths with me and, you know, sometimes wanting to talk to you, you know, in a store, and they're like, even passing, excuse me, and, you know, they're not wearing a mask. I don't want them talking to me. When I see people not wearing their mask, I go the other way because I am afraid of COVID. I mean, people might say, oh, you're a Christian, and you're afraid of this, and you're afraid of that, and you believe God.
And
what does
Christianity have to do with that?
Yeah, because people feel, say, you know, I was talking to somebody on I think on Thursday, and, you know, I had to leave the conversation because my chest, what happened is that the government of the country just preparing you for the 666, the mark of the beast. The governments of the country are just doing that. And if him even get COVID that him dead, him know exactly say am I going to the kingdom of God and whatever. Well,
wow.
Something. You know, it's a very touchy subject, a very touchy subject. And I tell people, Dr. Eva, I tell people, don't send any conspiracy theory about COVID to me. Don't do it. I'm not sending anything about COVID to anybody. Don't send anything about conspiracy theory. The only thing I can implore people to do is just take a vaccine. I mean, yes, you have a right not to take it. You have your right.
But wear your mask.
They're part of
the community. You know, wear your mask. Because I'm quite a young girl. Mask not killing nobody yet. Mask not killing nobody yet. So I don't know what kind of freedom somebody take from you when you're telling, well, you know, you need to wear your mask, and they say, hey, it's my freedom, that kind of thing. That does kind of wear out. The politics does kind of wear out, that kind of wear.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you.
Even though I changed the mask that I was wearing the other day to, it was always some black ones, and I got some more black ones. And the things rush up my lips, they rush up my cheeks, it just, make some black spots come from my lips.
It's a dye that's in some of those, the dye.
Okay. Well, it's CRS Radio Show, the Caribbean Radio Show, and we are about to hear from Judith with an update.
Auntie Judith with our updates and things, you know. I'm always so excited to hear from her. Aunt Judith, good evening, the lady with all of the wonderful news.
Good evening.
It's great to hear your voice, Judith, and I know when I hear your voice, you're coming with goodies. She's coming with candy.
Good evening, everyone. You are listening to the Caribbean Radio Show. To dial 661-467-2407. Press 1 to speak to the host. Welcome to everybody. Welcome, welcome. This is the update corner, the donation corner. So, you know, get yourselves ready to donate. As of today, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are listening, we are up to, 122 students will have shoes when school reopens.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
122. We still have 101 pairs to go. And after this show is finished airing this evening, I would like to even have a half a dozen pairs committed.
That's
after
true.
After the show is finished airing this
is
evening,
that,
a half a dozen pairs.
That's what we want to happen. That's really what we want to happen. Yes.
So, you know, get on the phones, everybody. Dial 661-467-2407. Press 1. Your donations can also be made through Zelle to givebackjamaica @gmail.com, through PayPal, givebackjamaica, gmail.com, or the Caribbean Radio Show @gmail.com. Very easy, very simple, very easy. You know, I would like to thank the following people who have donated so far: Mr. Mark Lewis and Kathy. They've donated a pair of shoes. Marie Levy, 2 pairs. Dr. Georgia Dixon, 3 pairs. Marjorie Henry Lawrence, 2 pairs. Andrea Blanton, 2 pairs. And, you know, last week, I can't thank her enough. She came through just like that for me. Sister Kim Eichner, here in New Jersey, 10 pairs. Thank you very much. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you. And like I've always said, you know, you don't have to donate a pair by yourself. 2 people can get in. 3 people can get in. 4 people can get in and donate a pair of shoes. You don't have to do it by yourself. I was on the phone with someone not too long ago before the show started. They sold me some money. Hey, what are you going to do? At work, I have a donation bucket on my desk. And teachers have started putting in money in there already. And it's not just for payday, so I can't wait till payday comes around. I may have to get a bigger bucket. I may have to go to the Home Depot and get one of those orange buckets and put it at the side of my desk.
But Judith, Sister Judith, let me ask you. All these names I hear you calling, I'm just going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to put it out there like it is.
No, don't put me on the spot.
May I put it on the spot? Are these names among the Crescent alumni?
Well, I know of at least 2 people who are not. Oh. I don't know of the others if they are Crescent alums. I don't know.
I know.
Maybe Dr. F can give me some.
Hold on, Judith. I am going to put it, and I'm going to ask you to ask your alums. Ask them, please, to them.
Oh, you want?
Go ahead.
Oh, I do that all the time.
I mean, I want you
I know there are many, many Crescent students, past students, alumni. Your ears are listening, and I've reached out to several of you through Messenger. I've reached out on Facebook and asked you if you've donated yet. Listen, we know that Crescent has gotten us, has given us a great start in life. If maybe we could have gotten the start somewhere else. And if it wasn't for Crescent, teachers like, in my time, Mrs. I.D. Lawrence, otherwise known as Laura, we got the foundation from there. So I'm begging you, I am asking you, I am begging you, help one picnic, no man. Do. Me, I beg you. I beg you. Please call in at 661-467-2407 to donate or to make a pledge. It's only $30 for a pair of shoes. There are other programs, the Bellyful program, which is $25. Listen, many of them still sell mash out of the gate, you know, our soft. If them do, expensive. People say it's expensive. No, me here say one right plant, not for $200. It's most expensive. One bag of mash. I went 5 cents for one when me I got school and me couldn't afford it.
But Judith,
yes.
Remember the mash there? Oh, you know when the mash good, Judith?
Boy, if you know, find fingernail in there when you eat, it good.
No, Judith, I want the bag oily. When the bag oily. And you know, what you think of it? I always wonder, because I used to hear saying, I pick them, pick up the biscuit, them at the biscuit factory, a biscuit, when they sling out.
Uh-huh. When they throw away, yeah.
Yeah, I used to hear that. And even though we used to hear that, we still eat the mash there.
Mm-hmm.
We still eat the mash
because
there.
That's all we could, that's all somehow we could afford back then.
I want sock.
Yeah. Miss Mitchell Platt across the street was very expensive back then, some of us.
But, like I said,
it's $30 for a pair of shoes, a shoe donation. Lunch, $25. You don't have to be the only one to do $25. You can go in with a friend. May I beg you, please, just give a donation, any amount. You know, it has to be $30. Two people can buy a pair of shoes. Two people can buy lunch. Two people can buy one pair of socks. It don't have... Hey, one guy give me $2 and I'm a bucket of work. So there you have it. Hey. Yeah. I love it. One poker, full basket.
I'm. Thank you very much, Judith.
You're welcome,
Dr. Eva.
Yes, I'm listening.
I have been approached by someone. I forgot to tell you about this. I've been approached by someone who has about 20 packs, boxes of Crayola crayons, pens, markers, and you know all those little knickknacks, the stick glues. So she was asking me if she contributed those to me, how I would get them to Jamaica.
Well, that is a good question. A lot of times, if you don't have somebody to directly take them, let's look at this mathematically. Somebody has crayons and stuff like that and little small pencils that cost very little here. But if I'm going to mail that box, to say I spend $30 on this, and I'm going to mail that box to you, and it's another $20, and then I'm going to try and get it to Jamaica, another $20. A donation of a couple of dollars in Jamaica, for Jamaica, would I be able to get that? You know, so sometimes we have to be very careful of that. However, if we're in a particular area and we can get that box to somebody who is going down to Jamaica and wouldn't have an extra expense, then by all means, that would be the best way to get it, because you have to think about the logistical and the economic part of it. So if somebody's going to cost $20 for several boxes of Crayola and $30, because, you know, once you put these boxes together, they charge for the size and weight and all of that thing.
Yes.
So you pay even $20 to mail it to you and say if you're going down. So $20 and $30 is $50 for stuff in the bag that probably costs, say, $20. Say it costs $20.
Yeah,
paying
so
an extra $25.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. So sometimes it is best on what we're trying to do with our donation. We're maximizing what we're able to give back. And as talking about maximizing too, for those folks who are going to be making donations through PayPal, give it to as a gift to friends and family, because if you don't do that, they're going to take, I think, 2% or 1%, which is a lot of money. If you're giving $100, they're going to take almost $4 or $5 out of it. I mean, if we have 10 people giving $100 each, is ten times $5. So that's a whole lot of money when you look at it, if we're getting it in volume that we can procure for the kids. So if you're going to be doing stuff like that, what it would be, what I think would be a great idea is to, we get a barrel, and then we, especially if you're in the Florida or the New York area, there are a lot of shipping companies there. But to talk about barrel again, say you, if you were living where I live in the boondocks, to send a barrel from here would be really not the most economical thing to do, because then you'd have to get it to Washington, then from Washington, then the shipping company would pick that. So you'd have to ship it to Washington or drive it to Washington to get to a shipping company. If you're in Florida, it's a much different thing. If you're in New York,
it's a much different thing.
Right. So you can always find, you know, these are the hubs for certain things. So what you want to donate, and those these things are lying around economically, is not going to be, it doesn't make sense. We pay $1 for a pencil. You know, when you can get a dozen pencils for a dollar.
In Jamaica, for a dollar. That's true.
Right. You know, something to the sort, to equivalent. So the long and short of it, if we can get a barrel pack, if somebody is just going down to Jamaica and they can just stick that in their suitcase and drop it off at the school, excellent.
Okay.
Excellent. What we're trying to do now that we are incorporated, we are not a 501c3 federally incorporated with it. That takes a little time. But we incorporated as a nonprofit organization. We're able to contact with the Jamaican government and see if we can get deferred some of those payments, except I think the administrative taxes, which is not a hell of a lot.
Stick a pin, Dr. F. Dr. F, you're coming across very muffled.
Oh, I'm sorry about, is that any better?
Yes, a little bit, yes.
I am thinking, you see, because shipping from here in North Carolina is really expensive also. But I'm saying if I could, it would take me a while though because people are more willing to give you these things than to give you their money.
Right.
They're more willing to give you the crayons, pencils, this, that, than to take up their money and give you. So I am wondering if, you know, because I ship stuff all the time, and should it be that I get stuff and I'm able to ship, what would be the procedure when it gets to Jamaica? Because since it's going to go to the school.
Yeah, this is what I was about to explain. Since we're a non-profit organization.
Yes, you're still a little muffled.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Well, I maybe try to call back in where I don't have.
You sound better. A little better now.
Oh, maybe it's where I was then.
What I'm saying is that that's a good question. So you mentioned, yeah, there's some gifts that people have, and you put it in a barrel over time, we can send it off.
And as a nonprofit organization supporting the cause we are supporting, we would be able to get a letter that would defer the payment, the custom duties.
Okay.
But we still have to pay the administrative, whatever that administrative cost is. But it's not a lot. But that
mm-hmm.
is manageable. So mm-hmm. we can make arrangement to do that. And HB has that contact. So we'll be
okay.
able to do something like that. So
yeah,
that shouldn't be much of a problem.
Yeah,
and this would be for if you are sending it as an individual, as a person, just sending some stuff. Just,
I'm looking at it, Judith, as if, sending it to one person.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, let it be like, at one specific point. And that point
mm-hmm.
would actually send off this barrel.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I have something, I could send it to you, and you
right.
give it a point person, and then when you get the barrel full of stuff, then you ship the barrel off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. That is a great idea, but. If
mm-hmm.
you're going to send some books, again,
from,
you know, some of these things are heavy, and just sending them through the mail is not going to be very profitable.
No.
You see,
no,
you're going to send some folders, binders, some writing books,
material.
Little books, and these are 20 cents or so. By the time you pack them in a bag, they become a dollar. 20-cent book become a dollar. It's not coming out of your pocket, but the person who is sending it, mailing it, I mean, it would be best for them to send the funds because we will have get more mileage out of it. However, if you can drive that to say, Judith's, I mean, if I'm living close by and I can drive it to Judith, because she's packing up a bag, she's getting stuff from people at our office, neighbors and friends, which is in close proximity, it would probably work itself out. But, again, there are certain items it is not financially feasible to ship those items. Because you have to think about the cost. You're sending a barrel. The barrel costs $100 to ship. Every single item, a part of that cost, and the $100 is going to be added to that item. So if there's a pencil, if it's a hundred item in the box, $1 would be added to each and every item there, so the cost will go up for that item. And maybe that item in Jamaica, some item, it would be lower than to ship it to Jamaica.
Okay.
Let me give you an example if I can. We're looking at some desk from India. We were looking at India, the One Desk, One Child campaign
mm-hmm.
that we're going to be hosting pretty shortly. And the aggravation to ship the 1,000 desks or 500 desks from India to the school is a lot of aggravation, a lot of time consuming back and forth, arguing prices, et cetera, et cetera. However, we started doing some local inquiries, and we find out that the same desk we were looking for is available through, I wouldn't say, let's call them a distributor or in Jamaica. Actually the same price that we were kind of looking at in India, we could get that same price in Jamaica. And even if it's not the same price, even if it's a little bit, not a hell of a lot more, it would be much better for us since we are on this side of the globe, much better for us to do it locally. And here's why. Somebody can go down to these folks and look at what they have, is able to sit in 3, 4, 5 models and get the exact model that we want. Through India, I'm not able to have a prototype or anything like that in order for the students down here to sit at it and try it and see if this is the best for the classroom, because you have to look how the classroom layout is, what is the best desk for the classroom layout based on what they have. So if they're down in Jamaica, you can go to their showroom. You can have a student try these desks, different student, because you have different desk size based on the student's class and age. So each person, we can have a model to look at them and to try them and see how it fits. If there's a problem with the equipment, the chair, we have the person there who sell you there right away to say, hey, one of these chairs is not good enough. After they reach the school, it seems like it's kind of whoppy or bendy. I take this chair from India, and they come to Jamaica damaged.
Or you're going to get it back.
4 or 5 days damaged. It, you know, for them to ship 5 chairs back, or we just ship 5 chairs, it's sometimes it's time-consuming. You don't have that personal rapport. I mean, if it the guarantee of the damaged chair, you can't just take it back to AfroTree, because AfroTree, their offices, and for them to do it. We're looking at purchasing 1,000 chairs. Now, that's a lot of buying power. So, you know, we'll be able to get some amount of discount, which would, even if we were getting the same price in India, getting a discount there, or even at the same price in India, would be worth it. We don't have to go to the wharf and pick these up. We don't have to go through custom. We don't have to go through all of that hassle. So all of that is saving time, which means we're saving money and patience.
And not only that, we'll be providing work for some persons in Jamaica.
Very well. Very great, great observation. We are providing, although these chairs are coming from India too, we are providing right there in Jamaica. Some persons will be able to make a profit rather than just India making that profit. That profit is shared in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Somebody is able to keep a job, and we'll have some amount of personal service and accountability if in case something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Also, if I can continue,
go ahead.
The same thing we are doing with the shoe. We are having 200 is on the digital, really, and I'm so excited about that, just jumping up and moving around. No wonder you couldn't hear me a little bit. We have decided to look and say, hey, for us to take 220 pairs of shoes to Jamaica is an asset. Not only is an hassle, you have these shoes who they are personalized to each person's foot. So you have 220 pair of shoes, has to be exact fit. Now we're taking 2 months, 2.5 months, 3 months. We have growing feet, and if somebody gave us 3 months ago that they were 2.5. Trust me, by the time we get these shoes, Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So what will that do? It means we're going to have a size 3 shoes. Somebody wants a size 3 shoe and don't have a shoes. Because we now want to put the size 2.5 in a size 3 foot now. So somebody's going to be out of a shoe. And we have a shoe. Either we're going to have to find somebody there to give that shoe to and a different, well, I mean, we have more than 220 needy students. But we're going to have to find a pair of shoes for that person who was on the list. Now, we do the shoe, find a manufacturer, or find a distributor, or find a store in Jamaica, which we are at present trying to do. If the shoe not fit, we can take it back right there and say, hey, fit, you know, this one don't fit too well, let's have a different shoe. Simple. We have gotten our problem fixed there.
Yes, I agree with what you just said, Dr. But you know, I thought, just crossed my mind. I say, why don't we allow, like, let's say, allow the kids and their parents to, like, go to the manufacturer or the place where the shoes are being made and fit their shoe instead of having the shoe go to them, and if it can't fit, you have to take it back.
That is it. As a matter of fact, we have often on in the studio, so maybe we could ask them. But just to kind of answer that a little bit, you have 200 people going into a studio every day
to try and fit at different times.
I know, but either way, it's to me, it's a little bit, and that can be a way to deal with it too. But if you have the students, we have a list. We have our list with the students' sizes, and some of them may not be accurate. And this is why we want to try and fit the shoes to make sure the shoes are accurate. It's easier for us to send 10 people back to the store than to send 220 people to the store. That's my logic. But I think that HB would be able to explain that a little bit better than I. So let's invite him in. Hi, HB.
Hello, how are you?
Oh,
hi,
good.
HB.
Welcome
to the show. I know you have exciting things to tell us tonight. So go ahead.
Exciting things.
Yes.
well, that's a tall order. No, well, you know, I actually have someone on the ground down there, and they reached out to Payless. However, they told me that Payless said that they would get back to them on Monday. Every time you speak to someone down in Jamaica, they're using the shutdown or the no movement as an excuse. You would be surprised how many people blame the no movement as if it's no movement for the entire week. But anyway, but she did reach out to Payless, and this is someone that works at a radio station down there. So she is... she has access to a lot of these businesses because they buy ads and everything. So she works with them. So they said that they're going to return her call tomorrow. Now, I have spoken to several individuals at Payless. I spoke to a local branch manager. I spoke to the manager at the head office. We're now trying to get in touch with country manager for Jamaica because Payless in Jamaica is under the Caribbean and Latin Payless shoe source. It's not under the North America. It's under the Caribbean and Latin. And that entity has a country manager. So I was able to get the name, and I had the person reaching out to. So I think the country manager is the one that is going to be able to make any type of decisions. The local manager in Spanish Town wasn't a decision maker, nor was the manager in for the head office in town. So they weren't, or if they were decision makers, they weren't choosing to make any decision. What they had offered, I didn't think was even something that I wanted to consider at that time. So, because they were basically saying, why don't we just purchase gift cards and give it to the parents, you know, and there wouldn't be any value added for the, you know, their value added in the sense that if we go on, it's not as if they were saying, okay, we're going to give you a discounted gift card or anything. They just wanted us to purchase the gift cards. You know. And that didn't make any sense. And I know once you speak to the right person, someone in a decision-making role that can make decision will know the value of what we're doing and the mileage that they can get out of it, because Payless Shoe Source also has a non-profit side, you know, where they give back. So same thing with the company that does the desk, because that individual actually told me that they do also have they have a give back entity within their organization. So the desk is I feel comfortable with those folks that we're working with on the desk. But trying to crack the code with the shoes folks is being a little challenging. But I'm pretty sure that we're going to have to step up to the challenge. I know we can get to it. I do have a question though. Is I know school is scheduled to start tomorrow. Is it going to be starting in the virtual space, or is that correct?
I was hoping to get an update from Norty, but I haven't. But I thought they went to school, the teachers went to school on Wednesday, and I think that's exactly possibly what's going to happen. We're going to be starting out in virtual
space, which, you know, that is a big problem because there are a lot of people disadvantaged as well, because the same situation like last year, if they don't have tablets, they're not able to participate at all.
So what is the... What's the process? Because I listened to the Prime Minister last week, and he said that they are distributing tablets. Now, is there a process for that? Or because he did say that in his press conference last week.
They have distributed some tablets before, but they distribute to the, I don't know how to put it, the just like our human social service, these kids would get that. So those who are not on this program because their income brackets, some of the things doesn't fall in that, they would get
it. Is it the PATH program?
I don't know. He did say that tablets were being distributed. So, is it per school, and is would that go through sir, or would we be able to get an update as to how many students will receive tablets from the program?
I guess we could. I did speak to him briefly this week, but we didn't go into
any detail about the opening, just to say that they have gone to school and the teachers have gone there on Wednesday. They're still working stuff out. Nothing to me from IDAC that's tangible. But some school is going to be going on in the virtual space. And some amount of staggering, you know, in days. But again, the fear is that a lot of students are going to be at a disadvantage the same way they are. Because even if you get a tablet, your responsibility, the tablet don't work just because you have a tablet. You need to get internet. And that is going to be a challenge for a lot of people. Because, you know, to get internet, the internet is not cheap in Jamaica.
So, that's about all I know about that one.
Okay. Yeah, so let me ask another question. Another question while I have your attention. I am going to, I've rebooked my flight. I'm scheduled to be in Jamaica on the 18th. That is a Saturday. So do we know when they're going to start the in-person classes?
I don't know. By next weekend, I will be able to get that information update.
Okay. So we don't have any information in regards to when will school be opening face-to-face school.
No. However, with our going to make our the donation or the presentation of, you know, we have some more scholarships. That maybe about 5 Head Start scholarships we have, Bellyful scholarships, and of course our sock for kickers and the kickers. Mm-hmm. We would still would be able to organize and meet in a fashion that we can make this presentation. I was assured of that. So a little bit closer to the 18th. We'll be able to come up with some firm date of what that will look like in like the presentation.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Okay. So that is that would be good. Now, as far as the and you've worked out the details with the two folks at Crescent with respect to the recurring scholarships, the sponsors,
yeah,
the adopt a child or, you know, sponsor a child.
Yeah. Well, actually, we've had some aunties and uncles. We started in August, and those payments have gone through, and I'm delighted to make a report that payment for September I start coming in as well. So that is very encouraging.
Dr. F, can
okay.
you repeat that? You're muffled.
Muffled again.
Go stand by the window.
Oh, my goodness. How about now?
Yes.
Better.
Yes, I was saying that we started the monthly sponsorship for these students. We have about 5 monthly sponsorship. We started in August, and those came in. The distribution is held up a little bit because Sir, the headmaster, we had to shift, you know, when we just started. We had to shift the money through him, and he was saying he got really so busy getting school organized, and because school hasn't started yet, the the funds weren't yet distributed to Miss Norty, who was in charge of the program, and then to the students. I was also saying I was delighted to report that the September payments for those who have committed to the monthly payment for the sponsorship, they also start coming in.
Okay.
Those payments also start coming in.
So with respect to the bellyful, if the school is going to be in a virtual space, is that just going to be carried over
that's a very good question. Very, very good question. This is my personal opinion, and I'm hoping that the board will endorse this as well. The Bellyful program is to feed the kids a healthy lunch. If they're at home, they're still going to need lunch. So I would say that they should still get that money. So because normally, if say you did a shopping list, you would not have that food coming out of your pantry for lunch. It would be done at school. So you're going to have a deficit of lunch from staying at school 4 or 5 days or 3 days. And sometimes if they're going to stagger these school days, maybe 3 days is at home and 2 days at school. So you're still going to have to pay for school at lunch. And then the remaining, you're still going to want to have lunch at home. So the answer to that question, if we're doing virtual, I would still consider the kids to be paid for their lunch because they're going to have to eat at home too. And if they're staggered, then those days that they're staggered, they would pay for the lunch at school. And those that are staggered at home pay for the lunch at home. If they're not coming to school at all, they will get the full amount for lunch for home.
I don't know, Dr. M. So how would these kids get this money at home? Because honestly, I think this money would be lost. You know, if given to the child for food at home, this money would be lost. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, or sorry, I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Let's say you have a child getting $25 for the week, let's say $5 per day. That $5 per day, I mean, under the conditions that the child, the grocery list, and not everybody make a grocery list. So we just have to face reality, face the real thing. We know about Jamaica, not everybody make a grocery list. And these kids, their parents are not going to make grocery lists like that. And say the child's $5, it's just going to feed everybody else. I don't know if I don't know if you guys see what I'm seeing, or probably I'm looking too far. To me, it's just going to go. It's going to get lost in whatever they have already. It's not going to go to the particular child. It's going to be like a family money now. Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I totally understand. But that child is going to eat from the family home. For those weeks that he should be eating at school.
but
I hear what you're saying.
The money sorry, the money should be for the child at school. So I would, in my humble opinion, I would say keep the money, because the child would definitely eat at home with or without that $5.
But remember, there. There are parents who has often had their kids stay home because they don't have the food to feed them, to send them to school. So why not still give them, you know, a portion of the money so they can by four. Listen, I feel if they want to spend this money frivolously, guess what? It is on them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be accountable for what they get. I mean, it's just so. I mean, and I think it's okay to feed, you know, I don't know.
It's $5. I understand what she is saying. But
yes.
I think, Judith, I will agree with you. You're at home. That money, sometimes some of these guys get free lunch at school because the parents don't have the money. If they stay at home, money's already short at home, and they have another mouth to feed during the day. Those kids are not going to eat. It's like what we have here in the States. Those children who are food deprived, they even get a package to take home on the weekend with them because they don't have enough food at home.
Correct.
I agree with what you guys are saying. This is just how I see it. And, you know, it might sound mean or harsh. I don't want to sound mean or harsh, but that's just how I see it.
It's not being mean, but if you're looking out for the child and you're looking
for the best way that the
donor is funding for whatever this situation is. And we're looking with you and we're trying to find the best way that the child would benefit totally from that. How would the child, if the child is at school, we want them to be fed. If the child is at home, we want them to be fed. And sometimes they don't have the money to come to school, so because they don't have the lunch money. If they don't have the lunch money to come to school, which is a little fraction, a dollar and change, which is like $20-something, these kids are staying away from school. If they're at home, for a child to learn, they have to have food. So when the child at home, not because the child stay home, meaning the child is going to get any food. So they will miss lunch too. So we're saying there are times that you have to say, hey, that child money would have to suffice for one pot. That lunch would for the week that they're cooking, or if they're going to buy some bulla or so, they're going to buy enough bulla for three kids. Because if there's three kids there, then you're going to have to buy the bulla because those children are going to need to eat at lunchtime too or somewhere during the day. And this is what I'm saying. Even if it's a virtual classroom, we still need to feed them.
Okay.
But I sure do understand what you're saying.
It's kind of a sticky situation, but
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you just have to do what you have to do. They have to eat. But that's how I see it though because I know what Jamaican parenting
and poor homes. Like, yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, they're not supposed to get this money, but to me personally, you know, it's going to just, you know. Anyways.
Anyways. That's a different statement.
We definitely understand what's going on. Yeah, we definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
But Dr. Ev, I alluded to a past program that the Ministry of Education used to help kids who have mm-hmm. you know come to school without lunch, and I know that these kids they do get. I don't know if it's a stipend. I don't want to. You know, I don't know what they get. But there's also a PATH program, and many of these parents are also on the PATH program. I don't know if you guys know about this PATH program.
I don't know, but I would think it's something like the food card we have here. That's not what they call it. Food something.
Food stamp? Like
the food program that they get on the card.
Because what I'm made to understand, the kids who mainly got tablets are those who are on this PATH program.
Exactly, because those kids would fall into certain income brackets. And if those kids are getting, it's like here in the United States, if you are on certain food program, you will get, if there's another program that comes out, you would know that that student or that family cannot afford this other thing, whatever it is. And therefore, because you're on the food program, you're eligible for, you know, reduce phone or reduce internet, that kind of a thing, or any kind of those programs.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we are here to give back.
Yes.
So that's our duty. So we don't want to get in on that minutia. You know, so we are just here to give back, and that's exactly what we're doing. Is Open still here?
Yes. Mr. Brown,
I was going to say something real quick.
Oh, go ahead. Why do this?
Not all. It seems like there's just politics in everything also, as we know. But not all students who qualify for this program get to go on this program.
Okay.
So what do they do?
Go ahead and say that again, Judy.
No, I say not all students or not all parents, so to speak, because it's the parents. Not all parents who qualify for this program get to go on this program. So what do they do?
Are you asking or?
I
don't know. looking back, I might sound mean then, but I can now see that definitely you could just, you know, these kids without lunch money at home could benefit from the money that they get. Because, as you rightly said, Judy, not everybody qualifies for the
Not everybody qualifies, but for those who qualify, you know, there are some who don't get to go on it for some reason of, you know, because it seemed like it's just so politically run everything down there that not everyone who is qualified for the program that meets the criteria for that specific program. I don't know what it's called. PATH program. Yeah.
It's like the food stamp program, yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, I remember my mother used to get, I think she had a card or a little card where she'd take, she used to get stuff from the PATH program. I am not... Yes, something like that. But it's like the food program here, food stamp program.
Mm-hmm.
And as Dr. Ev rightly said, whatever program, you know, these kids, once they're on the PATH program, whatever relief programs they have, these kids will fall under that, because I think let's use the same measuring stick to measure them.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, but as we say, you know, we're doing what we're doing, and our program is still in the you know, getting out of the teething stage, but we will definitely get there. We will definitely get there, and if we all put hands and hearts together, you know.
Exactly.
We can make a difference. And it's a difference. The end result is a difference. And we're going to get there because we're on our way to getting there. I like when Oaktown speak about going to Jamaica, you know. I really like that because I really, really want to see that presentation going on. Is HB still here? HB,
HB went to sleep.
Yes, Dr. Ev. I just need Dr. Ev to give us a rundown again as to what HB is going down to Jamaica to do.
Well.
No, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Okay, I guess he went to sleep, man. Or you went to bathroom.
No. It's called multitasking. But you know.
Okay. Okay. So, although this, yes. I was just saying
go ahead.
That you say you're going down on the 18th, right?
Yeah, so, I'm going down on the 18th. I guess Dr. Ev is supposed to tell me the date that she's worked out with Sir when we can do the presentation, because I think that when we do these presentations and if we give it visibility, it will allow other people to see what we're doing and then to get other people to become enthused about, you know, supporting the cause.
That just brought me back to an incident this week. People are saying that, and you're right, HB, you know, people are saying that, oh, they don't see anything being placed on the alumni page saying what we're doing, and it's like things are being done in secret. You know, but see, you're right, HB. But even then, when you show these people what you're doing, they are still not coming on board, and with Judith, I was asking her, I put her on the spot. Are these donors from the alumni group? And no, they're not. And therefore, I'm appealing. I can't appeal anymore. My appeal then done. I'm just asking. Could we just put hands and heart together and you know, help, give back. So yes, you're right, Oaktown, just to say that with the presentations being highlighted, people will come on board. Let's pray for that.
Yeah, and what you're actually going to find out, you know, is that a lot of the donors that you're going to see are donors that probably weren't even affiliated. Yeah, and guess what? As long as we're helping the kids, I don't care where the vote donors them come from. If you understand. Yeah. So, but I mean, because I've been in this charity thing for years, and and one of the things that let me explain to you. One of the things that made me start, not really made me start doing some things, but I was around a whole lot of folks, you know, and there were folks that were not even from Jamaica, that knew places in Jamaica that I didn't. That's why I took the time and I went to all 14 parishes and I drove out the entire Jamaica years ago more than one occasion because I couldn't have people that didn't go up in Jamaica can tell me about certain places and I didn't know. No. And I'm telling you, some of these people know Jamaica better than I did at the time. So, I mean, I can say that I've been to all 14 parishes. If somebody's going to talk about this little district or this little district, I met some folks from that were establishing libraries and the young ladies from Germany, you know, and they got this library project where they're establishing libraries in Jamaica. So you're going to find donors from everywhere. You see, once we started doing what we're doing, we're going to see it just balloon and people are just come on board because there are some people out there that just wants to give back.
Definitely.
You know? Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, so we just need to keep doing what we're doing, push it out there. I like what Dr. Ev is doing because she push out, and when she push stuff out, I share it because you never know who is going to come on board. Never. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be there to accept them when they come, you know. So, I think we're doing an excellent job. We're doing a great job. Things are moving. I mean, just imagine, we just started and we have over 100 pair of shoes that we're ready to provide to the kids.
Amen.
So we have to look at some of the things that we're doing, and these are great things. We just need to publicize of the things that we're doing.
Ask after Dr. Ev, because I don't know where she gets her head from, but she can really think of some things, baby. She can really think of some things, and she is such a passionate woman, you know? Very passionate. Me and I talk about all kind of some things, you know? And I can tell you, I listen to her, and you can feel the vibe coming from her, you know? And I can say that of Judith, too. I can feel the vibe. And I know that we are all really rearing and ready to go for this thing. And
yes,
if not been for COVID, still, you know, a lot more things would have been going on. You know?
Exactly. Definitely.
Have been going on, but we'll do what we can do in the meantime. But I lift my hat off to Dr. Evan and Oprah. I mean, I am coming into this thing. You guys have been in this thing for a long time. And listening to you, I mean, I feel elated when people, you know, help others. And I see that you've been doing this for a very, very long time. Yes.
Well, if I may jump in a little bit here, because I don't really skimpy on the praises them.
you've got to take the praise. You whatever. I'm going to give it, though.
Yeah. As I said, I had somebody in the group, which is irrelevant, but I'll just mention it. Oh, all you guys just do is thanking people and self-promoting people. My mother always say, and I always say too, thank you cannot wait. And you have to, when somebody make a decision to help, it's something that cannot wait for thank you. And I will thank you forever. When I hear Judith says she got a $2 and she was so elated, that kind of rocked my world. Because I remember in Palace, we got a $1 donation, and Rudy can tell you the story. And I'm telling you, if we didn't jump that ceiling to get that $1 donation, believe you me, we didn't do anything. But when I look at the work that HB has been doing, traversing Jamaica, and we talk about thinking and getting stuff done. This brother here, and, you know, been doing it for so long with CRS Caribbean Radio Show. I mean, listen, HB, you would think that HB belonged to Crescent, that no Crescent. Being on that ground, HB adapted Crescent. The passion he has for giving is like any other thing. Hey, is there a need here? Oh, I am here. I am this. I can provide this. This is what we do here. When I talk, when I hear Auntie Judith putting a buckle in her workplace, somebody who was so shy, when I first met her, didn't even want to hear her name called. And when I hear her on this program just kind of rolling off things like this, I'm saying, is this Judith Thompson Richardson? I can't believe it. But the passion to give back, the passion to know that where we remember the pain and suffering, the good times that we get when somebody gave us something. I listened to you, Cecile. We have talked many times of our journey and how if we had somebody to reach out to us, maybe we could, you know, I mean, we have done well, but if you had a little bit more resources, how that could have really helped help us build character, help us, you know, be able to get to certain things a little sooner, get a little exposure. It means a lot at certain point. It means a lot. I mean, when I started going to college, it was long, 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 not in my teenage years. But I know this is something I had to do. In Jamaica at the time there, you know, to go to university, you have to be very wealthy and the brightest of the brightest of the brightest. No, I wasn't the brightest of the brightest of the brightest. But darn no, I was the person who was intended to get what I want.
Uh-huh.
This country offered me, which is my next home, a lot of the opportunities that I could not have gotten in Jamaica because of lack of resources. Now, this is why I am so passionate. This is a little barefoot girl who usually sell mango and banana and pretzel. Guys, you hear the story about me a million and one time, and there's also a million and two times coming up, and three and four and so on, because this is who I am. This is that little girl who was in Bogwalk Road selling ackee and up and banana and kneesberry and everything that is possible for me to be who I wanted to be, helping my mom. I never even know about shoes and all of that kind of thing. I mean, my big foot on the ground for a lot of time to go to school. Shine you up with like a coconut oil. And Vaseline, we couldn't even afford Vaseline, the coconut oil, because you had to cut the coconut and grate the coconut Sunday for the whole week of oil. All the coconut trash, I had to rub by your foot because the coconut trash still have little oil in it.
No.
And I'm excited when I talk to you, Cecile, about these things, because it shows how far we have gotten and where we've gotten with the lack of resources. So there has to be something within us that is so super powerful that even with the lack of resources, we still manage to be productive citizens. So what if? Now, why if we're able to reach out to these little young kids that we see here with a bellyful scholarship for $25 a month? What if we're able to get an auntie like a Judith who is so excited about her little Nate? What if we can get somebody somewhere who, like the hundreds, 113, 122 people who dig deep down inside of themselves. And let me tell you, folks, Cecile, you asked about this before. I kind of refrain from answering because sometimes it's not either near or there. It sometimes certain things I probably don't wish to answer. But what I can tell you is majority 98% of the gift and the generosity we receive for our program is from people who have never, ever touched foot in Jamaica.
And that's it. I understand, I'm totally in agreement with you when you changed the name on the school's alumni site. It means a whole lot. Continue.
Absolutely. And this is no, I mean, I've met, and folks who are alumni and listen to you, folks, I don't want, you know, folks can always create stories when, however you feel and however you do and however you want to. This is not, a complaint against anybody.
No,
I want
not.
You to understand that, whether or not you believe it, yes or no, because I don't have the time for that. We have precious time to do the children's work. The children of them call us because we see their plight. We see they need us, and that is who I'm working for. So folks who would sometimes say things are, they're so unimportant to me because they're the person who is not donating. So I don't really focus on them, and that's the God truth. So if we have this emergency here, we have this disaster ready to happen because we have 2 years of some of these kids are going to be 2 years in setback. So this group of kids here need to be saved, literally, because we're going to have a generation of kids that's going to definitely fall through the cracks. And if that doesn't mean anything to someone, rather than to focus on some of the things I say, which is the truth, and you're talking about offending folks because you say, hey, guys, alumni, so I'm not even using that name. I'm just saying all of my friends and family who understand generosity and who wants to look at the smile on a child's face when they get a brand new kicker, and you get the kicks out of that to see how one picked me happy.
Yes.
Then I have to stop branding people and call them my friends and family and not focus so much on another. That part of our organization has its place. But, I mean, we're casting our net a little bit wider.
Okay.
And
thank you so much,
Dr. Evans.
We are
getting some wonderful people.
Thank you so much. I'm going to have Judy take us off here.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a drop mic program. Thank you, speech. Dr. Ev, thank you very much. This is the Caribbean Radio Show that you have been listening to. Please join us every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Jamaican Time. We would love to get your donation. Please, please, please help a child. Please donate. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening and stay safe.
Thank you so much, Judith. Thank you all for listening to us this evening. Hope HD, Dr. F, Judith, we've had a wonderful program. Thank you so much. And come
Thank
back
you.
Again next Sunday, same time, same place, and listen to the Caribbean Radio Show. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.